Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The 2018 South Dakota legislative session is underway in Pierre. South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley joins us now from Pierre for a preview of a few of his legislative priorities. Marty Jackley, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Lori, and I appreciate this opportunity.
I'm hoping before we could dig into the details that you might explain to listeners about the Blue Alert. Can we do that first since it was Law Enforcement Appreciation Week?
Absolutely. What Blue Alert is really taking the technology and the resources that we already have in place in South Dakota with the Amber Alerts. Those are the alerts when we have a missing child or the endangered person alert. And so we have the system in place in South Dakota that when something bad happens and we really need the public's help, that we can send out a message. And what Blue Alert does is adds a component of when there's a law enforcement officer that's been threatened or harmed, it will put that out to all of South Dakota government, the media, so that we can get it to the public so that two things can happen. Number one, the public can make decisions of not to go in a particular area. In other words, if we've had a law enforcement officer harmed on Main Street, the public might want to stay away from there for a while. But it also helps the public help us, that if a law enforcement officer has been harmed and there's somebody on the loose that's extremely dangerous, it really gets everybody that has a cell phone or a telephone to become the ears and eyes of law enforcement to help apprehend this individual. And we've had some unfortunate circumstances where law enforcement officers have been harmed that would ultimately, I think, be helped by this Blue Alert. I think overall what it does is the men and women in law enforcement work very hard to protect us. It's dangerous work, and this is that opportunity to take technology so that the public can help better protect law enforcement.
Are those individuals more at risk, or a greater risk for the public as well? There was a time when there was a line that people didn't cross, and maybe a law enforcement officer was really off limits. Is this sort of looking at where we are as a contemporary society as well and saying, you know, these particular individuals who might be at a risk of law enforcement are also particularly more dangerous for the public?
That's absolutely correct. I mean, if you look at what we've seen across the nation, and we've seen it here in South Dakota, we just finished the case out in Rapid City where the trooper was significantly injured and the jury did the right thing and convicted that individual. We had the recent trooper shooting in the Kimball area. Unfortunately, as Attorney General and U.S. Attorney, I've had to go to too many funerals where we've lost law enforcement officers, whether they be prison guards or men and women in the line of duty. And so I think really the philosophy is if you'll harm a law enforcement officer or a child, you'll pretty much harm anybody. And that's that crossing that thin blue line. And so what we've said is when it comes to children and law enforcement officers, there's an added danger. We have the resources in South Dakota to get those alerts out. And so we've done just that.
Let's talk about legislative priorities for you for the 2018 session. A heavy focus on methamphetamine. Why is that?
It is because what I've seen is, you know, the outgoing chairman of the nation's attorney generals is we have a national meth epidemic. And you're hearing it, too, from the president of the United States talking about drugs and opioids. And so what we have said is here in South Dakota, we have an opportunity to stop the supply. The supply of meth is coming in from drug traffickers from our southern border from Mexico. And what I'm asking the legislature to do is to send a strong message and firm laws that if you're going to distribute methamphetamine into our state and around our state, to our children especially, there will be stiff consequences. And so what I'm trying to do is really choke out the ability to distribute meth in South Dakota so there really is no supply. And I'm really doing that by two different ways. The first is to say we're going to look at every one of our distribution and manufacture of meth penalties, and we're going to increase them by one felony level. For instance, if you distribute meth right now in South Dakota, it's a 10-year felony. It would enhance that to become a 15-year felony. The second component, this part of it applies not just to meth, but meth as well as opioids and other challenges that we're having in this national drug epidemic. And that is to say that we already have mandatory minimums in place in South Dakota, but they're never applied or rarely ever applied. And it's for this opportunity to ask the legislature to reinforce that we have mandatory minimums if you distribute or get caught with Schedule I or Schedule II controlled substances. And they're going to apply unless certain conditions are met. And what I did as being a former U.S. attorney, I took those five safety valve factors that U.S. attorneys use. I use them here in South Dakota for 4 years. They work very well. Is to say that you don't have to serve that mandatory minimum if you're a drug distributor or manufacturer, as long as you do certain things. You can't be a violent person. You can't have used violence in the offense. And one of the big components is you have to fully cooperate with law enforcement. In other words, if you've brought drugs into our state, you have to tell us about where you got those drugs and to help us do better enforcement. And if you don't do that, then you have to spend 1 year in the state penitentiary. And I made that the state penitentiary because I feel that there needs to be a shifting back. This is affecting our whole state. Our county jails are full, and I think that's part of an opportunity to begin that shift back.
So let's dive into the mandatories and the fact that places are full already. Does this just add more bodies to a system that's already overloaded?
I would argue it doesn't. So if you look at our, for instance, the men's side of the penitentiary, there's about 3,500 spots. Literally, over 90% of the individuals there have some level of an addiction or drug problem, but about a third of them are there for what I would say possession-related cases. So if you take away that supply, you have an opportunity to affect at least a part of a third of the men's penitentiary. Distribution cases, believe it or not, we only have about 178 men and women prisoners that are currently serving a distribution charge of a controlled one or a controlled two substance. So what you're really doing is I think you're having an opportunity where there will be a few more folks that should be in the state penitentiary that are distributing and manufacturing drugs. So that 178 number may well go over 200. It may even go over 300. But you have a tremendous opportunity to reduce the number of possession and ingestion cases in both the men's prison and the women's prison. Believe it or not, about two-thirds of the women prisoners in our penitentiary, the primary offense is a drug offense. And so this is a huge opportunity to reduce those numbers. And so it's simply taking away the supply. I recognize the drug dealers are always going to deal a level of drugs, but it's a strong deterrent to say if you're going to do that in South Dakota, there are consequences. And then when we catch those drug dealers, we're going to put them in the state penitentiary rather than letting them out on probation or parole and having them continue to distribute drugs in our state. So I think this could result in a level of cost savings. But again, the important thing is you look at what meth is doing nationally and what it's doing here in South Dakota, it's affecting our communities, it's affecting our family structure, it's affecting our workforce on work productivity and our health care costs because of ER visits. I mean, I think anybody in South Dakota picks up a newspaper and they can see what's going on in their community. And I think it's time to take a bold move. We've been doing and are going to continue to do the prevention that we need to do through the Attorney General's No Meth Ever program, as well as Project Stand Up, the anonymous texting. We need to continue our treatment side of it with drug courts and hope courts and veterans courts. But those are for the users and the addicts. Those are not for the distributors and the manufacturers. I'm asking the legislature to join me in taking a very conservative approach and saying that the distribution of methamphetamine in the state of South Dakota isn't going to happen. And when it does, there will be strict consequences. And I think we can make a better difference for our communities and families by doing that.
You and I have talked about those prevention, and you had, last time we talked about the No Meth Ever program, you had some statistics about how effective that education can be. And I'm wondering about deterrence. And when you talk about, you know, you're sending a strong message to drug dealers, is there any evidence that that really works and that people do, you know, who are distributors say, not South Dakota, let's go somewhere else? Any evidence of that being an effective strategy?
I think that probably some of the biggest evidence of that is when I was serving as United States attorney, believe me, defense lawyers and defendant did not want the U.S. attorney to take a drug case because that meant likelihood of jail time. It meant that safety valve that I talked about with mandatory sentences. So from experience, I can say that that has a significant impact in the minds of drug dealers and defense attorneys. You know, I think when you overall look, everybody's going to treat things differently. One example of what we've done in South Dakota, it's a little different than just a deterrent, but it's a practical reality, is what we did with the manufacturing of meth. We now have less than 10 manufacturing cases in South Dakota last year. The reason for that is I, as Attorney General, went to the legislature and said, we have a unique opportunity in 2012 to take away the ingredients of making meth, and that's pseudoephedrine. And so we passed a law in South Dakota that allowed for the electronic record keeping of pseudoephedrine sales, and we went from upwards of 40 meth labs to 9, and that worked. And it's that same concept. We took away the ingredients, and it worked on the manufacturing side. I want to take away the dealing and supply of methamphetamine from the southern borders, and I think it's going to have an important impact. It's not going to rid us completely of meth, but I would hope in working with the United States Attorney, our state's attorneys, our sheriffs, our chiefs, if the legislature gives us this tool, I think it can be an effective way to protect our citizens and our families here in South Dakota.
When you mentioned the safety valve measures and you talked about, fully cooperating with law enforcement, is that measured with, a future arrest, or is that measured on the front end with, charges aren't filed if, you have an exit interview? Or, like, what does that look like in practice?
What it really looks like is, if you've dealt drugs in the state, you're going to get charged and you're going to get a conviction on your record. What it does allow is it will affect your actual sentence and the time that you serve. And that safety valve, it's an important safety valve that's fair. What it says is if you're a drug dealer, and let's just say you're not able to give the state any helpful information just because we've either gained it from another defendant or another means, that won't be held against you. What you do have to do, though, is truthfully tell us what you know. And if that doesn't result in another arrest or anything productive, you still have that opportunity to use the safety valve and not serve the typically what would be a one-year mandatory sentence. It's different. It's more severe if you deal to children. But that's the safety valve is geared to affect how much actual time you serve. You still are convicted of dealing drugs. You still have, a level of a sentence that you'd have to serve, but it may not be the mandatory level. And that has worked effectively in the federal system. It's been a way for law enforcement to gather significant information about drug dealing that goes on in a particular area, and allows us to get right to the heart of it and make the arrests that we need to make so that drugs aren't being dealt in our state.
And I understand there's some crossover. You mentioned opioids in the nation and in South Dakota, but I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on the opioid crisis in the state? Do you feel like we have that under control or are ahead of it enough to where we're on the path to having it under control?
I would say that there is, and I agree with the President of the United States, there's an opioid and meth epidemic, and we are ahead of it, but it's going to catch up to us. And the reason I say that is if you look at the national statistics, 2 years ago they had shown that South Dakota, I believe, was 49th out of 51 for the opioid challenge. Then the next year we were roughly 20th or 21 on the CDC out of 23. We've stayed a level of ahead of it because of the prescription drug monitoring program that we have. It works fairly well, but it's coming. And the reason I say it's coming as Attorney General, we have an ongoing case right now where we had 20,000 fentanyl pills shipped to a 19-year-old in Chamberlain area. And so those drugs are here in the state. If you look at one of the pieces of legislation that I've proposed also dealing with drug abuse, is we've had 51 accidental overdose deaths in 2016. The bulk of those, I believe about 31 of them or so, were opioids. Others were meth. But it's beginning to affect communities, not like it is in other areas of the nation. But when you're seeing 20,000 pill shipments of fentanyl, you're seeing increased overdose deaths. Again, part of that deterrent message that we need to send in South Dakota is to apply those mandatory minimums to the black market dealing of opioids. And then one of the other proposals I have as Attorney General is if the illegal distribution of drugs for profit results in a death, there'll be more significant penalties. In other words, if you deal methamphetamine right now, it's a 10-year felony. If the person dies from the meth that you dealt them, it's still a 10-year felony. I'm asking the legislature to say, you know what, if there's a death, it's more significant. If you're going to deal dangerous drugs in our state, there are consequences when things happen, and asking that to become essentially a 25-year felony under those circumstances. So I think there are things and tools that the legislature is going to have a strong discussion about this year. I recognize that these are proposals that 105 legislators coming from across our state can strengthen these proposals, and I've had meetings as early as this morning, again, working with legislators to talk them through. You know, one of the challenges that I've seen is a lot of legislators say, well, we don't know about these mandatory minimums. And I said, well, you realize that's already the existing law. They're just not being applied. And what I've seen is legislators fairly upset about that, to say, what do you mean that we've put in place mandatory laws that aren't being followed? And I said, yes. And that's part of what the discussion needs to be, is if these type of more significant sentences need to be a part of the solution, we need to put something in place that will work. And that's what I'm trying to do as Attorney General, is to use some of the existing law and just make it workable and enforceable.
What has been the reasoning for some of those mandatory sentences not being applied to this point?
You know, I've heard a variety of different reasons. Back when I first became a young Special Assistant Attorney General under Mark Barnett and then Larry Long, I saw them applied much more frequently. I can't give a good answer for that. I mean, you know, my instruction to Assistant Attorney Generals and really advice to state's attorneys is that the law requires a mandatory minimum, and if they're not being properly applied, at a minimum, our job is to at least argue it, recognize that the court is ultimately the decision maker for the sentencing. But there have been a variety of reasons they're not being applied, and I think we can fix that. And I think the way to fix it is for the legislature to reinforce, this is what the law is. The law should be followed, but we need to have a reasonable opportunity for a defendant to be able to get credit for certain things. And those five factors that the federal government has put in place have worked, and I think it gives the structure for the courts to be able to go down those five factors and look at violence and look at, you know, the level of what had happened and look at the level of cooperation, and then make a informed sentencing decision rather than just not applying a mandatory minimum.
Let's talk a little bit here, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest, South Dakota's Attorney General Marty Jackley. Attorney General Jackley, let's talk about some of the other priorities and maybe finish up here. We have to make way for Chantal Krebs in just a minute, but talk about data breaches, because that's something from a cybersecurity standpoint that seems to be on everyone's mind lately.
Certainly. When you look at what happened in the Equifax data breach and the Target data breach, there were hundreds of thousands of South Dakotans that lost a level of their financial security and their personal information. And what I'm simply trying to do is, in these instances when there is a data breach, we need to have a law that's not burdensome, but that gives notice to consumers that they have lost their financial information so they can make an informed decision. And if it's a large enough breach, to give notice to the Attorney General so that I can go investigate what happened. It's a very simple law that says the information holder that loses your personal information has 45 days to give you notice of that loss so you can make that informed decision. And also, if it's over 250 South Dakotans involved, then it would require a notice to the Attorney General. And that notice to either the consumer or the Attorney General is simple. It can be written, electronic, or a substitute notice in the media or the newspapers. And so hopefully this law will better protect consumers and allow us to get to the heart of some of these data breaches. I have two other pieces of legislation. One is an act to just strengthen the human trafficking laws. We've had wonderful law enforcement operations in South Dakota. We've removed 56 sexual predators off the streets. We're starting to get the argument, though, that in our operations, a real child isn't being harmed. And so I want to take away that argument. I mean, I'm a strong believer that why in the world would we wait, the communities or the Attorney General, until a real child is hurt? I think we should do everything we can to protect real children. And if somebody is bad enough to go out there and respond to an ad to have inappropriate sexual conduct with a child and then show up with money, et cetera, it's the act of what they're doing that's against the law, and we ought to treat it that way. And then finally, the sex offender registry. We have one of the best sex offender registries in the nation. It was the fourth national one certified. We have great partnerships with our tribes. We have a 98.5% compliance rate by the 3,600 registered sex offenders. What I'm asking the legislature to do is to focus on that 1.5% that's not compliant. And what I'm asking the legislature to do is to consider making sure the definitions are clear on community safety zones in schools so that sex offenders know exactly when they have to register. And then on those habitual sex offenders that are not following the rules on registration, to enhance the penalties for that. So if you look at the Attorney General's overall package, it's really designed at giving your sheriffs, your chiefs, your state's attorneys, and your Attorney General a little bit of additional tools to help better protect the public, with a very, very strong focus on this national meth epidemic. I think we need to get ahead of it, and the best way to get ahead of it is to deal with the distributors, to make sure they get the strong message: if you're going to deal methamphetamine in the state of South Dakota, there will be strong consequences.
And just for clarity, sex trafficking, if somebody answers an ad, it's a law enforcement operation. Let's say they show up with money, they're prepared to have illegal sex with a minor. What's the charge for it now?
Right now, it's we call it first-degree human trafficking, which is I call it an up to a 25-year felony. I'm not changing the level of felony, so I'm still saying it should remain a 25-year felony, but I want to take away the argument that, well, because there really wasn't a child that was sexually abused quite yet, that there should be some different charge. I just feel that the law is the steps that are taken to go meet that child, to respond to the ad. And so it's not an enhancement. It's just simply saying that there doesn't need to be a real victim here. There was going to be. We stopped it before that happened. And the real offense occurred with all of the acts that occurred up to showing up to respond to that sexual ad.
Got it. Attorney General Marty Jackley, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Lori. Have a great day.